Ephesians 5, starting in verse 21, Paul says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And then he goes on. He says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." This is a profound mystery. A mega mysterion is the way Paul puts it. But he says, "I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good you do, whether you're slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." So you see, it's basically the same teaching we have in Colossians, only expanded. Returning to Colossians, I want you to hear this passage in the voice of the Message paraphrase, where it says, "Wives, understand and support your husbands by submitting to them in ways that honor the master. Husbands, go all out in love for your wives. Children, do what your parents tell you. This delights the master no end. Parents, don't come down too hard on your children, or you'll crush their spirits. Servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters, and don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from your heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being Christian doesn't cover up. It's not an excuse for bad work. And masters, treat your servants considerately. Be fair with them. Don't forget for a minute that you too serve a master, God in heaven. Now, in both Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, Paul begins with wives and husbands. He starts with the marriage relationship. But in Ephesians 5, what he says about the relationship between wives and their husbands, what he says about all the relationships that make up life as we live it, is grounded explicitly in the principle of mutual submission. What precedes and undergirds what Paul says in Ephesians 5 and 6 is the all-encompassing command to submit to one another. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Mutual submission, motivated by reverence, by yieldedness and devotion to Christ. You cannot fulfill God's purpose for your life without it. Nor can I. Submission, I know, is not a popular word. Certainly not a popular idea. In fact, it's a word that's offensive to many people. The desire to be autonomous, to be a law to yourself, can be seen almost everywhere you look in our society today. People want to be free from all restraint, from any and all authority that would limit their freedom to do what they want or to define right and wrong for themselves. We demand our rights, sometimes for good purposes, sometimes not. It seems to me that a willingness to voluntarily, graciously submit to one another and to those who are in legitimate authority over us is essential to the health of our social contract as a democratic society. We really can't survive long without it. And submission is an especially unpopular word in our contemporary view of marriage. But I think this is due to a wrong, inaccurate, unbiblical understanding of what marriage is intended to be and of the meaning of submission itself. But before we get into what Paul says specifically to wives and husbands, we should note first that in talking about marriage, Paul is talking to and about wives and husbands. He's talking about a covenantal relationship ordained and blessed by God between a man and a woman. I don't say this meanly. I don't say it with anger. I don't say it harshly. I don't say it to demean anyone. And I hope it doesn't come across that way. I say it with love. I say it with compassion. But I say it with conviction and without compromise. God's design for marriage is the union of one man and one woman in a covenantal relationship of exclusive love and fidelity till death do us part. Nowhere does God give His approval or blessing to the marriage of two men or two women. Our culture may approve of it, but God does not. And we have to take our direction from Him. We must love people who believe and act differently than we do, just like Jesus does. We must love people. We must love people who are in relationships that God disapproves of. We must treat them with dignity and respect. We must. But we are not free under God to bless, approve, or celebrate what God does not. But with that, let's look at what Paul says to wives and husbands. In both Colossians and Ephesians, he begins with wives. In Colossians 3:18, he says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." And in Ephesians 5:22, he says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." What Paul seems to be saying, I think what Paul is saying, is that a wife's willing submission to her husband is one aspect of her willing submission to the Lord Jesus himself. Her husband is not her Savior. Jesus is. Her husband is not her sovereign. Jesus is. But one way for her to live out her willing submission to the sovereign and gracious rule of the Lord Jesus in her life is by her willing submission to the loving leadership of her husband. And we need to be clear that submission does not mean inferiority. It doesn't mean that a wife is inferior to her husband. Any man who's married or has ever been married knows that. It does not mean that the wife is spiritually or mentally inferior. It doesn't mean that the wife is less gifted or somehow worth less than her husband. A wife's submission to her husband does not give the husband a license to boss her around, to treat her with contempt, or to mistreat her in any way. Submission is not slavery. That's not what submission in the Bible is about. For most of us, I think submission has a connotation of weakness. But in reality, biblical submission is exactly the opposite. It takes strength to willingly submit to another. It takes strength to set aside your own desires and defer to the desires or authority of another person, whether it's in marriage or any other relationship. Husbands and wives, men and women, married or single, we're all under the same injunction to submit to one another as an expression of our reverence and love for Christ. For wives, the command is to submit to your husbands. That's not an absolute command. It's not unlimited in its scope. If your husband asks or orders or compels you to do something that goes against God's word and will, you have no obligation to submit to him. In fact, you have an obligation under God to refuse to do it. And just in case there's any doubt, there is never any justification for a husband to abuse his wife in any way or for her to abuse him. Any wife who is endangered physically or emotionally by an abusing husband has not only the freedom but the moral obligation to separate, to get away from her husband. If you're in an abusive marriage or any kind of abusive relationship, you don't have to stay. You need to get to a place where you can be safe. And your children too. Understanding the meaning of submission and working it out in practice is not an easy thing. Author Jill Briscoe points out that wives in the first century, when Paul wrote these letters in the New Testament, wives were already in submission to their husbands involuntarily. The wife's submission and the husband's authority were woven into the fabric of ancient culture. Why then, she asks, since they were already in submission to their husbands, did Paul tell wives to submit? The clue, she says, is in the grammar. The Greek verb submit, the word hupotasso, is in the middle voice. Now, if you're a grammar expert, you know that there are three different voices. There's the active voice where a person is acting, taking direct action. If I were to say, I ran 5 miles yesterday, which would not be true, the verb ran would be in the active voice because it was something that I did. In the passive voice, it's when something is done to you, when you are the recipient of some action by another person. The middle voice is when you take action for yourself. And the verb hupotasso here is in the middle voice, and literally it means to place yourself in submission. To place yourself in submission. Briscoe says it means to sit down on the inside as well as the outside. Wives were sitting down on the outside because they had no choice. Now, in Christ, Paul says, we give you this voluntary choice, this act of will, rather than a legal requirement. Paul was after a hard attitude, a spirit of humility, by choice, not coercion. In this respect, Jill Briscoe says, Paul is pro-choice. That is, the choice to lay down our lives for our husbands, our children, our sisters, our brothers, because we have laid down our lives for Christ. To quote Richard Foster, Paul made decision makers out of those who were before that time forbidden to make decisions. Biblical submission, the submission of a wife to her husband, is a willing, voluntary choice to yield to the leadership of the husband. Now, wives, it's not easy, is it? May sound impossible to you in your marriage, in your circumstances. And even if it's possible, it may not sound desirable. But I think that's because we only have part of the picture. Andy Stanley tells of being in a wedding years ago here in D.C. Says he was hanging out with several members of the wedding party when one of the women in the group said to him, Andy, I heard a preacher say that the man had to be the head of the home because a two-headed home is like a two-headed monster. Is that what you believe? That the man is the head? And this is what Andy Stanley said to her. He said, before I answer your question, I want you to imagine that you're married to a man who believes genuinely that you are the most fantastic person on the planet. He's crazy about you. You have no doubt that your happiness is his top priority. He listens when you talk. He honors you in public. To use an old-fashioned term, he cherishes you. He's not afraid to make a decision. He values your opinions. He leads, but he listens. He's responsible. He's not argumentative. You have no doubt that he would give his life for you if the need arose. You never worry about him being unfaithful. In fact, to quote an old Flamingos song, he only has eyes for you. When he finished, Stanley paused and then asked, would any of you have trouble following a man like that? And the woman sitting next to him blurted out, well, heck no. That's not exactly what she said. She said, I want to meet that guy. Everybody at the table laughed, but she'd made his point. Stanley says, it's easy, perhaps natural, to submit to someone who genuinely has your best interest in mind. There's no fear, no reason to resist. Conversely, anyone who has your best interest in mind has, in effect, already submitted to you. That person has chosen to leverage him or herself for your benefit, basically saying, you first. Husbands, it's up to you. It's up to us to make it easy for our wives to submit to our leadership in marriage and the home. The wife's duty under God to submit to her husband may seem like a huge undertaking. And it is, especially given the inclination of all our hearts toward mutual selfishness instead of mutual submission. But in Ephesians 5, at least, Paul spends way more time talking to husbands about their role than he does to wives. Husbands, your job, your mission is to love your wife. And it's a very specific kind of love that Paul has in mind here. The word is agape, the distinctive New Testament word that describes the way God loves us, the kind of love with which we are to love one another. The husband is to love his wife, Paul says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How did Jesus love the church? How did Jesus demonstrate his love for us? He did it sacrificially. He did it by bearing our sins in his body on the cross. He did it by holding nothing back, by giving everything. As it says in the Message, he didn't love us in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Men, this is how we're to love our wives. This is how you're to love your wife. It's how I'm to love Mary Sue. We are to love our wives in such a way that it will never be hard for them to submit graciously, happily, to our loving leadership. As usual, there's more to say about this, a lot more to say about it. But I need to wrap it up for today. My brother Gary, the historian and author, is currently finishing up a book on the religious life of Winston Churchill. It will probably be published early next year by Oxford University Press. Free publicity, Gary, if you're watching. Now, I don't know if this story will be in it. Probably not. I'm not sure it applies in the context of what he's been writing about. But late in his life, Churchill attended a formal banquet in London at which the dignitaries in attendance were asked, if you could not be who you are, who would you like to be? If you could not be who you are, who would you like to be? And when it came his turn to answer, Churchill rose from his seat and said, if I could not be who I am, I would most like to be. He paused for a moment to take the hand of his wife, Clementine. I would most like to be Lady Churchill's second husband. Now, like the rest of us, I'm sure that the Churchill's marriage was far from perfect. It could not be other than the imperfect union of two imperfect people. But these are the words of a man who must have loved and cherished his wife. Whatever you do, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, whatever you do, submit willingly to the leadership of your husband. Husbands, whatever you do, be worthy of your wife's submission by loving her as Jesus loved the church. Lord, let it be so in us, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.